Well, amen. Let's open our Bibles one last time here for a while. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There's so much in this last chapter. You just can dig and dig and dig if you want, but at some point in time, we've got to move on. So I think I'll show you a few things tonight, and then we'll start something new next Wednesday. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul has a way of ending his epistles, and you may or may not have heard, it's really not even important to say, but some people don't know if Paul, whether or not Paul was the man that wrote Hebrews. I have no doubt in my mind that Paul wrote Hebrews, and I've got several reasons to believe that. And one of them is the way he ends his writing. The last few verses of Hebrews, you don't need to turn there, verses 18 through 25 of chapter 13, are a lot like these last few verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He mentions the God of peace. We'll talk about that in just a minute in both of those. He uses the phrase, sanctify you wholly. You see that in verse 23 there? He says that very same thing in Hebrews at the end of chapter 13. He says, make you perfect. And he says that in both of those. He says, pray for us in 1 Thessalonians and in Hebrews. And then he gives greetings and salutations in each of them and a call for grace. It's just his typical way of closing out a letter. And so there's a strong connection there between those two. And that's one of the reasons I think Paul wrote Hebrews. Of course, the Holy Spirit wrote Hebrews. Amen. But anyway, let's just look at a couple of things tonight. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let me read verses 23 through 28, and we'll have a quick word of prayer. The Bible says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight that we have a Bible that we can trust and that we know has been preserved. And we know that when we read these words, that these are the very words that you gave some 2,000 years ago as the Apostle Paul penned them by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to question whether these are the right words. We know they are, and they're not hard to understand, but we pray that you'd give us a special insight into their meaning tonight. Help us to understand what it means to have a God of peace. Help us to understand what you can do in our lives that we need to trust you for, and I just pray you'd bless us for these next few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. What if I told you that you could take a piece of paper and you could write down the five, I just picked that number, we could say three, we could say ten, it doesn't really matter. The five things that you most worry about, and then if I could tell you God's going to take care of every one of them. Someone says, I'm worried about my health. God's going to take care of that. I'm worried about my finances. God's going to take care of that. I'm worried about my children. God's going to take care of that. We have a God that can do that, don't we? I like that phrase. In verse 23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I almost wonder how that goes together. The God of peace, I understand. I know what the word sanctify means. And when he says holy there, he's talking about completely or entirely. And you think about the things only God can do. Amen. God can give us peace if we will trust him. You know, you think about the Lord Jesus Christ and his walk on the face of the earth. And think about this now. His ministry was about 3.5 years. And do you realize that every minute of every hour of every day of his ministry had been seen from all eternity? There were no surprises. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, he knew exactly what was going to happen every minute. He's omniscient. He knows all things. And as his ministry was conducted, when we read about it, we see some chaos and some confusion sometimes. There's some people that conflict with him and so on. But God had everything in control. And folks, in our life, God has everything in control. Amen? The reason we don't have peace is because we don't believe that fully, or we doubt it just enough that we say, well, I'm afraid God's not going to take care of this. We don't really say it that way. We just think that way. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. What does the Bible say? Casting all our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. Amen? Amen. Folks, He is the God of peace. He is a God that wants us to have peace. And once in a while, I get a glimpse of that. I would like to live in it more. I just have to trust the Lord more. You say, well, Pastor, I would have done things differently. Well, that's a good thing we're not God. Amen? He knows what to do. The God of peace sanctify you wholly. There are some things that only God can do. Now, that word sanctify means to make holy, to dedicate, to separate things unto God, to take away uncleanness, to keep, it says later on that He's going to preserve us, and that means to keep us from corruption and decay. I can trust God. I'm glad Brother McMahon said that a while ago. He said, you know, God's still working on me, and I can trust God to do things in my life I can't do.
Amen.
I can trust God if I'll just walk with Him and endeavor to walk with Him and give Him the room to work in my life. Folks, He can change things. We get frustrated with ourselves because we're weak. We get frustrated because we give in to temptation, perhaps, or because we worry about things too much. We have a God that can change us.
Amen.
And He wants to change us, and He will change us. And as Paul gives these people these last parting words, it's similarity again in Hebrews and 1 Thessalonians, but he says, you know, there's some things God can do in your life, and my prayer is that He would. And that's what he says there in verse 23. He says in verse 24, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Now, when I read that sentence, and this is kind of fascinating. Paul normally writes in long sentences. This is a very short sentence here. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Do what? Doesn't really specifically say, does it? But whatever needs to be done, I would say, amen. I mean, think about this. He says He's called you. When I was in high school, it was in the 1970s, I just missed the draft. We missed the draft. I think I missed the draft by maybe 2 years. In fact, I remember a friend of mine and I went down to sign up for selective service, and the justice of the peace in our little town said, well, we quit doing that about a year ago. You haven't got to sign up anymore. But back when the Vietnam War was in effect, which was when I was in junior high and high school, part of my high school, they were drafting people, and they would call you. And they would take you, and they would train you, and they would equip you, and they would strengthen you, and they would send you out. Isn't that what God does with us?
Amen.
Amen? So once again, just like we saw in verse 23, these are things that God does. I gave Mike a title for this message as a formula for victory. But folks, the victory is the Lord's. He's the one that gives us peace. He's the one that can sanctify us, which is to make us holy completely. He's the one that can preserve us blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who will do it. And now just a couple of instructions and we're done. Look at verse 25. Paul says, brethren, pray for us. I sent a letter to all the missionaries that we supported in our church in Salt Lake City about 25 years ago. And I asked them, what are the things you most want from your churches? And the first thing on the list was pray for us, pray for us, pray for us. Folks, do you pray for your missionaries? Amen?
Amen.
And that's kind of what Paul was to the Thessalonians. In fact, no kind of about it. He was a missionary to the Thessalonians. And he says, pray for us. We ought to pray for our missionaries. Amen. When we do that, we are striving together with them, the Bible says. Brethren, pray for us. Prayer is the essential element. If we're going to have victory, we have got to pray. I would ask you, as we go out and we do evangelism in various parts of our town, and we go here and go there, to pray for those areas of town that we go to. We'll try to let you know what those are, because we need God to give us the victory. Then he says in verse 26, greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. Huh. We don't quite do it that way anymore, do we?
Praise God.
We shake hands. Amen?
Amen.
And we have a little cultural issue there. I have never kissed Brother Leo. Amen. And I'll hug him. Amen. I love Brother Leo. And I'll shake his hand. And I don't know how it's going to be in heaven, but we have a little cultural thing there. But the idea is there's an affection between us, isn't there? Amen. There ought to be. And, of course, if you were to go to Europe, I know that they still kiss when they greet one another. I'm glad I live on this continent and not that one. But greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. There ought to be an affection between us, and it ought to be the most important thing. If we have an argument with someone or a disagreement, the affection should overcome that. This morning, I got to this place where I was working this morning at 5 o'clock, and there's a forklift driver there. And he's an unsavory character, to put it mildly. If Tim was here, I could tell you more. He'd appreciate it. But anyway, this fella, this forklift driver, was having an argument with his supervisor. You don't do that. When the supervisor says it, you do it, right? And so I heard the supervisor walk by. He wasn't talking to me. And he said, "This guy's going to quit. He's mad." And then I listened to the way the supervisor was treating him. And the supervisor was giving him grief. And he was giving the supervisor grief. And I thought, you know, maybe I can help the situation. And I went and talked to the one guy, and I said, "Hey, you need to calm down. You know, he's in charge. He's got a right to tell you what to do." And, you know, in the world, people can get crosswise and go separate ways. God doesn't give us that permission. We're supposed to get along with each other. Amen? And that ought to be a priority. You say, "Well, someone offended me." I understand. People offend me all the time. We've got to forgive them and pray for them and care about them. Amen? And that affection has got to be there. So fellowship is important. It's part of this formula here. And I'll give it all to you in just a minute. But let's finish up. He says, verse 27, "I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren." That's interesting. Thessalonica is located in the far northern portion of Greece. If you go, I forgot the name of that sea that goes up in there. But you go way up into the northern part of Greece, and there's Thessalonica. And that letter that was sent to them was to be read to other people. That's just spreading the word of God. And to this day, when you and I want to get along well and have success, we need to be in the word of God. It says finally, and I'll talk about this a minute, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Isn't God gracious?
Amen.
Again, we worry about things. Folks, God's already got the answer. We're just waiting for God to show us that answer. Amen? Now, times will come when there's sad events. I think of Patty and Dan, and, you know, Dan's in eternity now, and Patty's going to have to make some adjustments in life, and she's going to miss Dan. But God's grace is sufficient.
Amen.
When God takes things away from us, His grace fills the void. And we know that. And if you'll look, you'll see God doing things to be a blessing to you. I have enjoyed, since coming out here, when we first planned to come out here in the spring of 2016, I had no idea that I was going to be out here with any family at all. I didn't know at that time. Stephanie and Levi were in Grapevine, right, in Texas. And Levi came out and moved me, praise the Lord. If it hadn't been for him, we wouldn't have got the job done. And but anyway, they came out here, and praise the Lord, grandkids, they're a blessing.
Amen.
And then God brought my son Tim out here. That's a blessing. And God does things for all of us to give us His grace. Amen? Just little things He does that are gracious. So let's put this all together, and I'll finish up. This formula for victory. First of all, it starts with God, verse 23. Sanctification and preservation, and I really should have included peace in that. Trusting God, letting Him work in your life, and letting Him preserve you blameless. And here's the wonderful thing, folks. Think about that. This is a blessing. When you and I sin, Christ paid for that sin.
Amen.
When you stand before God, how many unpaid for sins are there? None. Amen? Can you imagine? Preserved blameless and blameless for all eternity. And then God's faithfulness in verse 24. In faithfulness in what? In whatever needs to be done. He called us. He's going to carry us through. prayer in verse 25. So we got God's working in our life, sanctifying us and preserving us. We've got God's faithfulness in our life. We have our prayers to Him in verse 26, our fellowship and our preference for one another. And then we have the Word of God in verse 27 and the grace of God in verse 28. And I would contend if you have those things there, you have everything you need.
Amen.
The fact is, the Bible says that God's grace is sufficient for us. The Thessalonians who were being persecuted, who were seriously questioning whether or not the rapture had taken place, and they got missed somehow. The Lord says, no, everything's going to be fine, and just wait on Him. And I'll just say this again. If you would just stop and think, the things that we probably worry about, whatever it might be in your life that you're concerned about, how this is going to go, how that's going to go. Folks, if we'd trust God, we could have peace.
Amen.
And if you knew God's going to take care of those things, what's to stop you from just focusing on serving Him? Amen? And going out and doing what you can to be a blessing to folks and to reach folks for Christ instead of worrying about taking care of the things only God can take care of. Yes, sir?
I always ask the Lord also for wisdom, not only to recognize His blessings, but if that blessing doesn't happen to be what I think it should be, to be accepting of that.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
I've always prayed that.
Yep. There's no insufficiency. Sometimes we just don't see it the way we ought to.